What Acquire tries to address is just making the sale process more transparent and easier. After I launched it, it just became apparent that this really solved the need in the market. A lot of them kind of get stuck at the point where it's time to really build a business, hire a team, stuff like that.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Holman with the Breakout CEO Podcast. I'm very excited today to have Andrew Gazdecki with me. He won't know this, but I think it was, I don't know when you started your, it was used to be called Micro Acquire. And one time you're like, hey, anybody want t-shirts? I print out a bunch of t-shirts. Send me your mailing address. I'll send you a t-shirt. I probably should have worn that. Now that I think about that, I should have put that on, but that might be, you know, outdated advertising now. So Andrew, it's good to have you here.
Right on. What's up, Jeff? That's cool. Is it a Micro Acquire shirt?
It's a Micro Acquire shirt. Yeah, that was, you did a name change a while ago. It's been some time, right? Since you changed that. Wasn't it Micro Acquire?
It was. Hang on to that shirt though. It might be worth a lot of money one day. You never know. Yeah, we rebranded about 2 years ago, 2.5.
Yeah. Anyway, so I've followed you for a while. You're out in the Bay Area, right?
San Mateo.
Yep. And
where are you based?
Utah area.
Utah.
So, Salt Lake City.
I love Utah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Next time you're out, let me know. We go, you know, hit the slopes or something. But it's great to have you on the podcast. You've done several things. I was really excited when, you know, you've actually responded to my chats a number of times over the years that we've been connected. So I wasn't surprised, but I was really happy that you responded and agreed to be a guest on the show.
Yeah. Glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah. So I want to give everybody a little bit of some history kind of building up to where you're at right now, because you've done several things. You've shared that. I think I've probably listened to a few podcasts that you've been on where you've shared some of that history, but maybe give us the high level overview of what led you to the current company Acquire.
Sure. So been an entrepreneur pretty much my whole life. Started my first quote unquote business in like middle school, selling baseball cards and Pokemon cards. So just fell in love with entrepreneurship at an early age. In college, I started a company called Business Apps. We made mobile app development easier for small businesses, bootstrapped that company to about 10 million in revenue, and then sold that to a private equity firm. And just going through the process, being confused the whole time, trying to figure out what all the terms mean, LOI, APA, SPA, escrow, I just thought there could be an easier way to help founders get acquired. And that leads me to Acquire.com, where we help founders get acquired.
Yeah. And you've been doing this, I should have looked at your LinkedIn. It's been 4 or 5 years, hasn't it, since you started that? It's
been like 1,000 years in startup land. For regular years, it's been about 5 years.
5 years, yeah. And how many companies have you helped get sold or bought through that platform so far?
We do about 3 every day, so we're up to like 3,000 at this point.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I went in and I said, hey, give me a little intro for Andrew for my podcast. It didn't do a great job. I think it said that you hadn't done that many. Oh, you know, it actually came up with $500 million in online business deals. Is that a good number?
Yeah, I like that number. Was that the AI chatbot we have?
No. I just got onto ChatGPT and texted or typed something in and said, hey, give me a little bit of background. So
AI's not there yet. We still got jobs.
Yeah, no, it's not there. It's not there. Well, so that's awesome. It's really been a platform. I've watched it. I've gotten on it a few times and I've looked at it. And I looked at some of the companies. You know, initially I thought, oh, this is going to be awesome for these small startups that just get going and, you know, maybe want a quick win or something like that. But you really have a diversity of companies on there, different sizes, different industries. I think I've seen some, I don't know if I've seen like a pizza shop on there, but I've seen some that have been in surprising industries from what I would have expected for, you know, kind of an online fledgling platform selling businesses.
Yeah, I get to see some cool stuff. Maybe for more context for the listeners, we help predominantly SaaS businesses sell, but then also e-commerce and mobile apps. We've expanded to newsletters, crypto businesses. We like to say it's for any online business. No physical businesses, no pizza shops or laundromats or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, I saw a business the other day that was making a few hundred thousand a year in Brazil, where you could pay someone to come to your funeral and say some words that you pick. I thought that was fascinating.
Really?
But we helped a SaaS business sell for about $2 million, and the founder was 83 years old. I thought that was pretty cool.
Wow.
And then we recently did a transaction with a Japanese company for about $12 million. And that was a wild acquisition with big bank financing and like the KPMG of Japan.
Really?
Yeah. One of my teammates had to fly out to Tokyo and do the closing and stuff like that. So kind of wild is what I'm getting at. Like, I started the business to just help like small side projects sell, but we've expanded into a few other categories and, you know, definitely larger businesses as well. So it's been a fun ride.
Yeah. And the thing that I love about it is you, not only have you been through the experience yourself, you're now making that experience accessible to other people. You know, they get to experience some of the successes that you've experienced by selling your own business. Going back into that, give me a flavor for what it was like when you, because you said you bootstrapped to about $10 million, that business apps. What was the experience like for you going through the sales process? Was it, you know, this is awesome? Was it terrible? Was it both? You know, we hear a lot of stories about people who go through that and it's just the hardest thing. But once they're done, they're happy they're done. And then they're sad they've sold. Like, how did that work out for you?
Yeah, for me, it was a long process. I had previously tried selling the business when I was about 25, 26. I had some pretty decent offers. One was from a company called web.com, another Endurance International. And I just kind of blew those deals. I didn't manage them correctly. I kind of thought acquisitions was this weird like standoff where you're like, I'm for sale, but not really. And that like makes the valuation go up. And then I had no idea what private equity was, meaning what they look at in businesses, mainly financials, profitability, that sort of stuff. So I just thought it was really confusing. And I didn't know how to really attract buyers either, what they were looking for. And I just wish there was a place where we put all the buyers in one spot and you could essentially have an auction process for your business. And so that's what Acquire tries to address, is just making the sale process much more transparent and easier and faster than what you typically get by just emailing businesses and saying, hey, we'd be a perfect fit, and trying to work that out. Only meeting with buyers that are, you know, interested in moving on acquisitions.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you think your experience early on, the difficulty selling or understanding the process, did you have people around you that you could turn to? Or was this like true bootstrapped, you got your own business, but not necessarily the network of people? Like, what was it that caused that experience to happen the way it did?
You know, I probably could have had some better mentors. I had great mentors for business apps, but no one specifically in the M&A space. So I'm sure if I had like a really good M&A advisor or something like that, maybe the process I ran would have been different. But I think there's just a lot of founders in shoes that I was wearing where, you know, they're bootstrapping their business. They built something great. Maybe the buyer isn't obvious, where it's not going to be the next Google. It's not going to be Apple that's buying the business. Maybe it's XYZ private equity shop, or maybe it's even John Smith who works at Stripe or something like that. Finding those buyers is just really, really difficult. So there's always acquisitions where the buyer is really obvious, meaning it's a strategic acquisition. They reach out to the head of corp dev and it's a match made in heaven. But that only applies to around 1% of startups, and the other 99% of startups have to go through this awkward dating process that usually takes years to find a buyer. And so that was kind of the problem I went through, where the buyer for business apps wasn't really obvious. I eventually found a buyer, luckily, but it did take about 2.5 years to do it. And I think that's just way too long.
Yeah, it's a lot of time and energy spent on the buying process while you're trying to run the business, right?
True. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so as you got into this, like, some people, they do their business and then they get out and they're like, I'm going to go invest now. I'm not going to start another business. Like, I've been down that road. What is it about you that prompted you to do this? Is it really just, I want to help people, or do you love the grind, or, you know, it's just who you are?
Investor. I'm a terrible investor. No, just kidding. I love building businesses. I think it's exciting. Like you mentioned, investing, I think that's super boring, where you just kind of look at a screen all day and make some picks. I like doing support. I like marketing. I love, you know, thinking of business models, stuff like that. So one thing I would just add is, when I started MicroAcquire, now Acquire, I didn't mean for it to really become a big business. I started as a side project, so I thought it'd be cool. I just made a marketplace where people could freely buy and sell. There's no business model. And then after I launched it, it just became apparent that this really solved the need in the market. And there was a lot of founders that had businesses ranging from a handful of $1,000s to millions of dollars looking to sell. That's kind of when I switched from, okay, this is just something fun I made, to, I think there's a real business here. So to answer your question, just love building businesses.
Yeah. That's cool. And a lot of people are benefiting from it. I mean, what would you estimate is the difference between the process that you're now facilitating for people through Acquire versus the process you went through? What are some of the highlights there people go through? And have you laid out the process? I know early on you were talking about getting advisors in place and doing kind of
Yeah.
Simplifying, templating, but what's it look like now?
Yeah. So when we first launched, it was just a marketplace. You create a listing, you're kind of on your own. But now what we'll do is we'll work with founders. We'll give our opinion on what their business could potentially sell for, which is critical because if you price too high, you're not going to get interested buyers. How to prepare, how to put together a P&L. We'll do recasting of financials. We'll help assemble the data room, just making sure that they have everything that we know based on all the acquisitions that we've seen, that buyers are going to need this information to make an offer on the business. Then we're going to prepare the founder too. We're going to talk to them about questions that they should expect, how to run certain meetings, how to really get the most out of this process, how to create a competitive process so they get multiple offers. And then when the offers come in, we'll give our opinion on the offer, whether it's a good offer, it's a fair offer, or a great offer. We'll do everything from start to finish to help them successfully get acquired, even working with a third-party escrow company to make sure that the transaction is safe and secure. So the other side of what I went through was basically I'm on my own. I'm figuring it out as I go, reaching out to buyers, hoping I don't mess up these meetings. What really happens in an M&A meeting? Like, what should we focus on? How do I get them interested? Make sure that founders have support every single step of the way.
That's fantastic. I can only imagine it makes the process easier, more or less stressful or more stress-free and probably a lot faster than what you went through. What are the typical close times for people who are going through this once they find that right buyer?
When they find the right buyer, it depends. We like to say 90 days from start to finish. So from first day live in the market, from there, it'd be say 30 days to find the buyer, 30 days to agree on terms, and 30 days to close, 90 days total. Some buyers can close as fast as 30 days. Some are longer if there's bank financing involved, like the acquisition in Japan, that was about 5.5 months. And then the acquisition with the 83-year-old founder, that was about 2 weeks because the buyer was super experienced, knew exactly what he was looking for. So there's some variability like that, but generally pretty quick.
I have to ask, the 83-year-old seller, is this a serial entrepreneur? Is this someone who just jumped in and saw an app they wanted to build? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, kind of. He actually bought the apps. They were Atlassian apps, so third-party apps in their app store. Okay. And he bought them for like $200K 4 years prior to selling. It was pretty cool because it's like a good outcome for him. And this was his final farewell to business, so to speak.
Yeah.
But he was happy for sure.
That's fantastic. I was talking with my dad, who's 76 this year, just like last month, and he's a real estate developer, very invested in his business. And my brothers are running parts of it now, and I'm like, Dad, is this where you want to be in 5 years? Like, what's your trajectory? And I just picture him saying, you know, Jeff, I'm gonna wait 2 more years, then I'm gonna buy an app, and then I'm gonna sell it 4 years later. I'm not sure that's his path.
But we see it all the time. We see buyers do really, really well in Acquire, where some are rolling up different SaaS apps. Some are buying one application, going all in on it, growing it, coming back. We had someone recently buy a newsletter for like 100K and then came back and sold it with us for 800K about 6 months later.
Really?
Yeah, 6 months later.
Are these experienced people who are, I mean, they're experienced buyers, or are these people who are like you that, you know, you went through one business and you're like, I'm going to start another? Like, what's the typical profile for people? I'm just curious.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the buyers that we work with are what we call first-time entrepreneurs, meaning they have a role at a tech company where they're really skilled in marketing or sales. And a lot of the businesses that we work at, work on with Acquire, they're lacking go-to-market in some area. So they see a bunch of opportunity where they're an expert in this specific area of growing the business. And so they buy the business, they go all in and find some quick growth levers to focus on and usually do pretty well.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like you bring them, because I often talk with my clients. I'm like, hey, I would love to help first-time entrepreneurs act like second-time entrepreneurs, because then you know what questions to ask, you know what's down the road. And it sounds like you're providing that expertise to help them be more like a second-time or a serial entrepreneur instead of that first-time entrepreneur that has to go through all the mistakes themselves.
Yeah, I think the biggest benefit to buying a business is you get to skip over the first year or two or even longer where you're trying to figure out product market fit, who's your customer, what's the positioning, what's the branding, building the product. You just skip over all that and start right at the point where you're focusing on marketing, getting more customers, making your existing customers happier, improving operations of the business. So I think it's ideal for entrepreneurs that maybe aren't as creative or that's not their expertise, kind of like the builder and scaler. You have the builder entrepreneur who loves tinkering and figuring out creative new solutions to existing problems. Then a lot of them kind of get stuck at the point where it's time to really build a business, hire a team, stuff like that. They just don't want to do it. And we hear that all the time at Acquire, where they built something extremely valuable, profitable. It's a great business, but it's not what they love doing. And then they sell it to someone that loves all the stuff that they think is boring and they don't want to focus on. So it's kind of a win-win.
That makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. I bet we're attracting some CEO audience members right now who are saying, maybe I need to look at another business. Maybe I need to tack something on, buy something.
There's 1,000 businesses on Acquire, literally over 1,000.
That's fantastic. Well, I want to have a little bit of time here to talk to you about your journey and your business and get into maybe one of your own breakout moments because as successful as a lot of people are, there's always these moments where you're looking at your business and you're saying, this isn't going quite like I planned. Or maybe in your case, this is not the hobby I thought it was. And maybe the breakout moment was just a natural progression of the market demand. I don't know. I'd love to hear kind of if you don't mind, how you built up the team around you and kind of what situations that led to leading up to some type of breakout moment.
Yeah, I can give you a good one at Business House, but to answer your question, I'm a big believer that you should do every role before you hire for it. So when I first launched MicroAcquire, I literally was doing everything. I did everything from support to operations to reviewing every business that goes on the marketplace, a newsletter, product development, all the marketing, taking sales calls, like living on live chat. And then when it came time to delegate and hire, I was able to find people that I was able to specifically train and knew what success looked like in that role. Mm-hmm. Every role that I've hired for where I haven't done that hasn't performed as well. So that could be a small tip for listeners.
Yeah.
In terms of a breakout moment, there was a few at Acquire, but one in just my career in general was back at Business Apps. I had just started the company. I was cold calling small businesses to try and sell mobile apps. And I remember calling restaurants like, hey, what's your mobile app strategy? And they're like, app? You like appetizer? Like, what are you talking about? It just wasn't going well. And I kind of sat there like, how am I going to grow this business? Like one app at a time, this is going to take a lot of cold calling. And then I had a customer in Switzerland that was building mobile apps for these beautiful Ramada hotels in like Germany. Mm-hmm. I'm like 21 at the time. I'm like, oh, let's reach out to this guy. Maybe I can get a call in with a millionaire. He obviously owns hotels. And I set up a call with him. And my only question was, how do I get you to build more apps? He explained to me that he was building the mobile apps on behalf of his restaurant clients and his hotel clients. And he owned a marketing and branding agency all across Europe. Hmm. And the moral of the story there is to not be afraid to pivot the business and listen to your customers. And what he told me was if he could put his own branding on the product, meaning if we could white label the product, allow him to sell mobile apps as if they were under his branding and it was his technology, he'd be able to sell way more mobile apps. And since that change, we were able to completely change the trajectory of the business.
So you were building one-offs for people, and then you decide, after talking to this guy, you were able to essentially white label this for him. Is that right?
Exactly. We switched from a direct sales model, selling one app at a time, to essentially selling 10 to 20 to 100 plus apps at a time. So we went from like one-on-one sales to distributing the software and creating this global reseller network. We ended up powering about 50,000 mobile apps worldwide.
Wow. How did you know to find this guy? Or was this just serendipity? You read about him or you'd known him or somebody said, hey, you really ought to talk to this guy. What's the connection there?
Yeah. So he was using the platform. We had been featured in a couple press articles. And he had read those and started using the platform. And it was so hard to use back then that I have no idea how he figured it out. But I just wanted to talk to him as someone who actually, from start to finish, created his own app and published it. And they were for these really cool spots in Europe. And if I hadn't made that call, I don't think that company would have worked.
Really?
Yeah.
Were there other team members involved? Or was it, what did your team look like at the time?
We were like three dudes in a small, like 400 square foot office. There were some remote engineers, but we were tiny.
Did this opportunity like allow you to grow? Was it just revenue and you kept the team the same, or did you have to expand the team at the same time?
Well, after that, everything changed. Like if you look at the revenue graph, we just completely exploded. We went from essentially zero revenue to let's call it like $3 or $4 million in 12 months. Because again, instead of selling an app $30 a month at a time, we were selling these reseller packages for $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month. So it completely changed our trajectory. So we had to move to an office in the Bay Area, specifically Millbrae. And again, I don't think the company would have worked if we hadn't changed the business model away from direct sales to reseller sales.
Yeah. And this changed his business too, right? He was able to go out and do a lot more of this and sell more of these.
Yeah. So he ended up building several hundred mobile apps with us. And what he would do is charge his clients to design the apps, get them live in the app store and host them on our platform. So we would charge him, say, $20 a month per mobile app, and he was charging his clients $100 a month.
Okay. So he ended up being the direct-to-consumer version of what you were doing before, it sounds like.
Yeah, because he had the existing relationships with small businesses.
Yeah, I was just listening to, it's a book on tape. I forget the name of Scaling. Is it by Ben Hardy? I don't remember. Something about scaling, and they tell the story about somebody who did something similar, right? They're talking about creating impossible goals so that you rethink your strategy. You know, if you're out there doing direct sales, in fact, it was a story about an app, somebody building an app and selling an app to people. And they're like, I have to cold call for every sale that I make, you know? And then they thought, well, how do I get into some type of strategic partner who's reselling it for me and leveraging it? So sounds like a similar experience.
Yeah. 100%.
Have you seen some of those same things at Acquire? I know you mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned recently on LinkedIn that you were hitting some profitability metrics that were favorable, right?
Yeah. We're having a breakout year. Actually, we've grown about 50%. We've grown profitability by about 60%. We're going to end the year about $2 million in net profit.
Awesome.
So pretty proud of that. And that's a huge shout out to the whole team. Yeah, it's been quite the year for sure.
What does your team look like there now?
We're pretty small. We're about 15 people, and about four would be on engineering, five on advisory, two on marketing, and the rest on support.
Very cool. Are you doing anything different this time around than what you did last time? Aside from just being smarter, more experienced, maybe more mature or whatever. What are you doing differently this time around?
I think we're just really hitting our stride in terms of the guidance that we provide to clients. We've expanded to other categories. So for a while, we were predominantly only SaaS. Mm-hmm. And we've been focusing a lot on e-commerce and mobile apps and newsletters and other online business categories. So that's really fueled growth as well. But we help businesses sell. We don't try to get too creative with it. And it's been a good year.
Process. That's cool. Is there anything in your you know, personal life that carries over into the business? I know some people bring their personality is just their personality everywhere. Other people, they have their business personality. Sometimes things from personal life just carry over into the business. Is that true for you?
I consider myself, kind of a weird and fun guy. I always like to describe our culture as a little weird and fun. Like, we give out these awards every quarter. It's a banana. So you get a banana award for like the top advisor, top engineer. If you get three bananas, we'll buy you a plane ticket to anywhere in the world for a vacation.
And these are real bananas?
No, they're like little plastic
bananas.
Trophy ones. Yeah, you can get them off Amazon.
Yeah.
So we do like fun. There's like four other little, quirks that we do like that. So maybe that.
That's funny. There was a company I was at. We did sharks. I didn't start this. It was somebody before me started it, but I got there and like, yeah, we do our shark drawings every month. I'm like, what is a shark drawing? Well, I was in charge of intellectual property portfolio and stuff. And so every time somebody would come up with a new invention disclosure or something, they would get a shark and then they'd be put in the drawing. And if your shark was drawn, you got some gift or something.
I like
it. It was really interesting because as I walked around, I saw these, sharks all over people's cubicles and desks before I knew what they were. Uh-huh. Why does everybody have sharks here? The bananas prominently displayed by your team when they win
those?
They
actually are. Yeah, if like you go on Zoom with some team members, you can see all the bananas in the background. But I think it's important to have fun at work and just, make fun memories. People always talk about it, share it with their friends and family because it's kind of funny. It's not very serious and lighthearted. And I think those are good attributes to work environment.
What do you think is I don't know if it's a team thing or a financial modeling thing or something else. Like what's the kind of the magic behind your strategy right now? Is it just being in the right place at the right time? Having something somebody wants, or is there more to it?
For Acquire, I think it's been relentless focus on brand building for 5+ years. Lots of social marketing, lots of podcasts like this. We have our own podcast, and that translates to a lot of activity on the marketplace. But I think the most important thing is successful acquisitions. When founders sell, they love to tell other founders that are looking to sell, and that creates kind of like a flywheel effect. So I think it's it's really just our ability to do what we set out to do.
Doing good work, I guess, huh?
A little bit. Gee. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, this has been great. I really appreciate you sharing both about your business and about your breakout moments. Is there some advice that you would leave for people that might be behind you a little ways in the same journey or a similar journey? Or maybe some of your sellers who are aspiring to create something like Acquire and then sell it on your platform. What would you say to them as they're in their journey?
I would say just keep going. I think entrepreneurship is this journey that's just guaranteed to get hard. And every startup founder and entrepreneur goes through tough times, things that just kind of suck. And I think the ones that win and are successful just find a way to keep going and win from there. I think one last thing I'll add to that is, you know, for entrepreneurship, you're almost like begging for hard times and for that patience to be tested. And should I give up? Is this working? Like, I think it's important to take a step back and kind of ask yourself, like, is this surprising? Like when things aren't working, or like me at Business Apps, where how am I going to figure out the business model? Like those moments are literally guaranteed when you build a business. And so I think when you're in them, to just recognize that and uncover every rock and kind of focus on just putting one foot in front of the other and keep going.
I love that. You say, ask, what was the question again? Is this a surprise? Is this surprising this happened?
Yeah, is it a surprise? It's like running a marathon and in the middle of it, you get tired and you're like, I stopped running. And it's like, well, dude, you like started running a marathon. Like, of course you're going to get tired, but to finish the marathon, you kind of have to push through those hard moments.
Yeah. Are you a runner, by the way?
I'm not. I can run a little bit. I do, you know, once or twice a week, but not enough.
Well, that's a runner. You're consistent.
I'm talking like 4 or 6 laps around the track by my house. Enough to check the box.
I still say that. Yep. Check the box. You're a runner in my book.
All right. Hey.
So that's fantastic. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show today. This is really insightful. And I'm sure some of our audience is going to say, in addition to what I learned from Andrew, I want to go get on the platform and maybe buy a business or sell a business over there. So
all right.
It's another resource. Well, thank you so much. And thanks to our audience for listening this week. Really appreciate having you all here. And we'll see you again next week.
Thanks for having me on.
Be sure to follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if you enjoy the show, a rating or a review goes a long way. Our mission is to promote the stories of breakout CEOs in scaling SaaS, e-commerce, and tech companies to equip peer CEOs with valuable perspectives and confidence. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of The Breakout CEO. I'm Jeff Holman, and I'll see you next time.